Good Monday evening to everybody. I am your host of the Monday Night Kickoff Show, Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. I neglected to do a few of the little intro deals that I usually do because there's one that I have to hit real quick.
Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle. What the heck's a boondoggle? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource.
That guy is the most interesting man in the world. Joining me on the phone, I've got Mark, the landing crew wheeler. How are you, buddy?
What's going on, man?
Same old, man. And I got the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. 30-inch Snook. We'll get to the story a little bit later on. Mr. Rob, a bad back cast of boar. How are you, bud?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. And awesome. Joining us on the line, we have also he needs no introduction. How are you, sir?
I think that's the best non-introduction I've ever had. Thank you very much.
No problem. The man with the golden voice, that's what I was looking for, but it didn't come to me quick enough.
It's all good, bro. Thanks,
right,
I could use that. I could
absolutely
use that.
Absolutely. Beer's being passed around. I've got a couple of things to cover real quick. I want to kind of highlight some ongoings and some things that have taken place over the last couple of days. We've got I want to give a shout out to one Miss Jen Wilkes Beard, who has started a new website, CamoGirlBrand.com, for any of the ladies that listen to the show. Or listen to the podcast. I guess they're going to be doing some camo design type stuff for women in mind. So check them out, CamoGirlBrand.com. Also, too, we got the Central Florida Shootout, which is a fishing tournament, inshore offshore fishing tournament, coming up in the month of May. That's obviously still a little ways out, but you know, get prepared if you guys are in the Central Florida area and want to get involved in a good tournament. It was put on last year out at the port, and then there's also a way station down south around Sebastian. In case you don't want to fish up this way, you want to fish down south, you can do that too. All the information for that can be found at www.centralfloridashootout.com. Also, too, we've got the Band the Slam tournament, which is May 11th. It's a really cool tournament situation. All the proceeds go to benefit Ducks Unlimited, the South Brevard chapter of Ducks Unlimited, that helps those guys go out and buy wetlands and whatnot that are in danger of being developed and protect the ducks' habitat down there. But they put on a great tournament down there. I think last year they had a couple hundred people in it, and they've got a kayak division as well. There's more information you can find out on that on Facebook as well. Band the Slam has their own page, so look, check those guys out. Real quick, congrats to Marty Mood, who won the Savannah, Georgia IFA event this past weekend. He fishes, I believe, for Hobie. He took home a first place overall and also big trout. He had a 21-inch. I think, it was a 21-inch trout and a 23¾-inch redfish gave him first place. So that's pretty cool. And that was up in Savannah. And then the next event that's going to be local to us is going to be in Fernandina. For any of you guys that want to fish that, that's going to be May 19th. So mark that down on your calendars if you're interested in fishing an IFA event. Lately, it hasn't been the size of fish hasn't really been too impressive out of the Florida division. It might not be a bad idea to get involved in one of those tournaments. You might get lucky and win yourself a one of them Hobie boats, I call them. Things are giant. And then also, of course, we've got the big tournament coming up, 2012 Columbia Sportswear Jacksonville Kayak Fishing Classic, which is unfortunately the same weekend as the Band the Slam tournament. That's also on May 12th. if you guys haven't been to the Jacksonville Kayak Fishing Classic page or their website to check out all that's available through those guys as far as sponsors, prizes, and so forth, take a second to go do that, and it would be definitely worth your while to make the trip down. I think there's something like $80,000 in prizes and giveaways to be had, so it's pretty impressive. Everybody who's anybody, I think, in the industry is giving something up for raffle or for a prize, so should be a good event. But with all that aside, I want to take a moment real quick to thank everybody for liking my picture on the Greenfish page on Facebook. I was able to pull out the win and win one of the sweet CPR camera mounts that they offer, and I want to thank everybody again for voting for me. It was pretty tight there with an hour to go. I was behind by about 10 votes, and with about an hour left in the little competition or whatever, I pulled it out by about 30 votes, so it was pretty good. And now that picture's up. It's still up on their page, and it's up to 343 likes, so that's pretty cool. And I'm flattered by it, and all the nice comments everyone's left for me on the picture itself. I really appreciate it. It's really cool. And I look forward to using that mount, man. I got to get out there and do my best Rob DeVore impression and become a professional camera guy. And film some stuff, but... yeah, that was awesome. I really appreciate it. But without any further ado, I want to get straight to Rob, because that fish was pretty impressive and the video was pretty good, man. You're getting better at your angles and stuff. So why don't you tell us a little backstory to where you fished and kind of how you found your fish.
Okay. Well, I was trolling down some mangroves, had about six planer boards going out, and I was looking for some walleyes, and I just couldn't find any walleyes that day. So, no, sorry, kidding. we were actually in the bay on Saturday. Launched, everything was beautiful. About 11 o'clock, the wind kicked in, and it was horrible. And we couldn't buy it. Yeah, on top of that, we couldn't buy a bite. Or at least I couldn't. Keith caught a couple of small trout, but couldn't even get an oyster toad to chew off your tail or anything like that, right? So it was, spooked a couple of fish. Yeah, I know, it was one of those days, but, and I need you ready for the sound bite on this, Chuck. Around all the mangroves, all day long, I was seeing these little 2-inch shrimp popping, you know, at the surface. Bloop, how's that go, Chuck?
Bloop, bloop, bloop.
That's right. So I said, man, you know, the only thing I have about that size is a little Cody River jig, you know, little curly tail jig. So I threw that thing on there, immediately caught two ladyfish, and I thought, well, okay, that's better than nothing, whatever. And the third cast was the big snook. And at first I thought it was a redfish, but it came up out of the water, and I was like, oh, my God, let me turn on the camera for this one. That's right. And then it starts, you know, weaving and doing the figure eight, and it's diving under the kayak and all that stuff and leaping out of the water. That's right, man. It was awesome. So, finally spit the hook right when, you know, I thought I had him. And, yeah. So, maybe one show. I'm looking for a little bit of a stouter rod, because some of these bigger fish that I've been catching lately are having their way with me, man, with my little weenie rod. So any advice on that would be much appreciated.
Yeah, well, I think that you're with me and using a 6 to 12 kind of weight class.
Yeah, I just need, it needs a little bit more backbone, man. they're great. The ones I have are great for, you know, casting, and they're great for trout and stuff like that. But when you get into a little bit stiffer fish, it's kind of hard to move them around a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. I found that when I'm dealing with the bigger fish, like even black drum, and I want to use a spinner rod, I tend to shorten the rod a little bit and go from 7 foot to 6'6", and I use like an 8 to 17, which kind of has not the broomstick feel to it, but like it still has a soft enough tip where you can feel the bite, but enough backbone where you can turn his head, and if you need to slam the hook home, you can rip his face off with it. So yeah, it's a.
The problem is, it's like the whole, you know, I can't find anything that's sturdy enough or stout enough, you know, that's in my budget range that actually has a short enough handle, you know. Everything that, when you go up to that, you know, heavy class from, you know, medium to heavy or medium heavy, all of a sudden the handle's getting real long. So I'm trying to find something that's, you know, it's almost like, I almost need like a heavy casting stick, you know, like a bait caster type, you know, a heavy duty rod in that category. But I don't like using bait casters, man. So I don't know. Anyway, if you think of anything, let me know.
Well, we've got Benita Bob in the chat room there. Maybe he can pipe up something that he's got in the line that
South
that
Bend,
he works with.
Or,
yeah,
isn't it? Or Deep South.
No. Deep South.
Deep South.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's Deep South. Yeah.
I think so.
So,
South Bend, Deep South, something.
No,
South
Bend.
Something.
South Bend is the cheap stuff that you used to get at at Sports Authority or whatever. So that's not.
No,
that.
It's definitely Deep South.
Yeah, there
that's
you go.
That's right in my budget. Yeah.
And you'd be able to find an excellent review on them on yakangler.com any moment now.
Yes.
There you go.
So anyway, that was
good job,
Becker. It didn't. It didn't chew through my leader, and anybody, make sure you listen to Redfish Chuck, because if you're, you know, on the hunt for heavy, big snook, make sure you use a heavier leader, because that thing, man, my leader, if you haven't seen the video, it's on my YouTube page, but I showed the leader afterwards, man, and it was just absolutely chewed. Like, and it was a brand new 30-pound fluorocarbon on there, and it was Swiss cheese by the time it was done.
Yeah, those gill rakers are super sharp, man. It's not a whole lot you can do when that happens, but
yeah.
No, it's still,
but
still
I estimate
a nice
that
fish.
I'm guessing that fish was probably about 30 inches, and I had him for a few minutes, and you know, I'm sorry I lost it, but it was awesome. At least I got it on video. I'm very happy about that.
Cool. That's cool. I lost a fish last year, in the kayak, but I lost a fish offshore last year that the image of the fish itself will forever be burned in my mind. It was my first marlin I ever hooked, and I watched it come out of the water and greyhound behind the boat, and it just threw the hook within a matter of minutes, but it was still cool to see it. And then the other one was a big giant trout over in the lagoon, and I saw that thing come up and swallow a jerkbait, and I'll be honest, I got nervous because I saw how big it was. I was like, oh my God, it's the biggest trout I've ever seen. And it turned around, spit the hook, and laughed at me. So it happens. But, I got a chance to go and do a little fishing this past weekend. Hit the lagoon on a rainy morning. Wasn't really expecting a whole lot. Just really just wanted to get out of the water, kind of clear my head a little bit. And was pleasantly surprised to find out that one of the other launches out there at the lagoon was closed. Come to find out, they had it closed because they were going to do a controlled burn out there. And a couple of kayakers I know joined me there. One of them being in the chat room, Pepe, showed up and he was like, "Hey, man. Fancy seeing you here." He actually went to go fish at a different spot over at Peacock's Pocket, and it was completely blown out. So he made it over to Beacon 42. I sent him a message on Facebook the night prior to tell him where I'd be if he wanted to meet up. And it was cool to finally meet him and put a face to the name, you know. and check out the ride that he's sitting in. It's one of the Diablo Paddle Sports kayaks, which was pretty impressive looking, if I must say. I believe the seating position is even higher than that of the Jackson. It was pretty awesome. But we got out there. We paddled around a little bit, fished a couple spots, didn't really have a whole lot to show for it. I picked up a couple small trout and about, I don't know, maybe what, an hour and a half into us being on the water, a buddy of mine, Terrell, showed up, and he come paddling up in his ocean, what do they call those things with the motors in them?
Torque.
There you go, the Torque. Showed up with the Torque, and it was pretty sweet. But he didn't have the motor in it, so he was just paddling around. But anyway, and so we kind of spread out and did the divide and conquer thing, and I picked up a small redfish. Pepe picked up a couple of redfish himself. Had a big one right off his bow, couldn't get it to eat. We moved over to a spot where I've been picking up some flounder, and called Terrell over. And for those of you that are friends with me on Facebook, you probably saw the picture of the flounder that he ended up catching, which was a pretty nice flounder for the lagoon. And I was a little jealous, I'm not going to lie. I just lost a big flounder right before I called him over, and then I lost a decent trout in that same hole. But all in all, it was fun. I think our total fish catch for a quick little morning session, we're all off the water by 10:30-ish, five redfish, a handful of trout, a ladyfish, and the flounder. So it was pretty good. I got to throw it out there again, and this is not a product spot. This is not a sponsor in your face moment, but I have yet to take the 12 fathoms fat mullet off my jig head. And this is going on 3 fishing trips now. And, I'll get to that in a second, Greg. So, I have yet to pull that bait off the jig head, and that's a testament to the materials that are being used in their rubber for the bait. I don't know, Rob. Have you used the fat mullet from 12 Fathoms yet?
No, but it's a confidence bait there, Chuck. You know, I mean, if it works, why change it, you know?
Well, I mean, it is, but at the same time, I've been a Bass Assassin guy for a long time, and DOA as well. And the difference, besides it being confidence bait, the difference that I saw right away is that I can fish, apparently, 2 or 3 trips and never have to re-up on my bags of bait, it seems. I don't know, Mr. Becker, have you used any of the 12 fathom stuff?
Much to my chagrin, I have not. I've not had the opportunity yet to do that.
The plastic is just incredible. It's not, there's nothing really special about the lure design, to be honest with you. It's pretty typical for most sea shad or shad tail style baits. It's got a little fat body, much like most of them do, and a decent sized paddle on the end of it, or shad tail, and but the plastic itself is just, it's pretty incredible. It's torn to heck and back. I'm going to take a picture of it and post it up. I'll do that tomorrow. But I mean, it's shredded, but it's still hanging on the hook. I was impressed, and it's the first one I pulled out of the bag, so I still have basically an entire bag of them sitting in my tackle webs. So, yeah, that's pretty awesome. I don't know. Kudos to those guys. And they make some really good fish catching colors. And I'm glad to see that that my buddy, Mr. Lozier's not in the chat room busting my hump about it, because I know he's partial to another company. But, and not to say that I won't use anybody else. It's just, you know, that's one of the reasons why I haven't sat down and put myself with anybody as far as a soft plastic company is. There's just too many too many brands that make good products. It doesn't make sense to settle down with anybody that way. But, you know, I don't know. I'm a soft plastic lover at heart. I mean, that's my bread and butter. I can go to that 365 days out of the year and catch fish on them. And that's just a good thing to know that there is companies out there that make products that will last that long. So it's pretty cool. And yes, they do make root beer. And I don't know about redfish beer. I actually like that idea, Chip. That's pretty good. There in the chat room, I got list of typical casting characters that are in the chat room right now, and the conversations are usually pretty good. So if you're a guest and you're listening in the chat room, or if you're listening on the podcast and you're ever a guest on in our chat room, you can always log in. Just open up an extra browser window, open up your Facebook page, go to log in, click on the Facebook little logo, and it'll log you right in. You can get involved in the chat. And see, Rob Choi just joined us. Appreciate it, buddy. How you doing? And got Captain Cameron in there. He's killing it right now in the Port Canaveral area. So if any of you guys are ever going to come down here for vacations or for Orlando conferences or whatever, and want to get offshore and do some offshore fishing, give Captain Cameron, give Chris a call. He's the man. They've been crushing some big 35-plus pound kingfish every trip. In fact, I think he just did a photo shoot with Gaff Magazine, so kudos to you. I saw you put those guys on some big fish. That's awesome. But anyhow, so the way we rigged the baits, or the way I rigged the baits I was throwing the other day, I did a combination of throwing jerk shads. I was using gulp in root beer color, of course, with gold flake. And I rigged those on a 4-aught weedless worm hook with a 1/32 ounce little piece of lead on there. Tied that off to a 12-pound, actually I was using fluorocarbon leader, and that was tied directly to my 10-pound braid using a uni knot. I've gotten a couple of emails from folks from different forums and from off the show here asking about bait rigging and how to rig live baits and where do I hook my baits and that kind of thing. So I think that we can pretty much dive right into that topic. It's getting to be that time of year, as you guys have seen. The weather obviously is nice and warm, and the fish are biting, man. The bait's showing up. Rob was telling me there's bait everywhere over there in the West Coast. There was mullet everywhere over in the lagoon. So it's been really good. Real quick, I know I'm jumping back and forth, but I got to mention this. Captain Chris has said that if you mention Redfish Chuck, you get $50 off your charter with him. So that's pretty awesome. Appreciate that. And I'm sure you'll get a few phone calls, buddy. But seeing that flounder caught, man, it really made me want to go back and net me some finger mullet and cheat and use some live bait. For me, with this incredible flounder bite that we've had in Mosquito Lagoon, it almost makes sense to go out there and do that, really try and target them, because obviously they're there. I've caught them every time I've been to the lagoon in the last 4 or 5 trips. So I think what I would do is get yourself a couple of, like, maybe quarter-ounce egg sinkers, because you're going to use decent-sized finger mullet. Slide that egg sinker on your main line. Tie off a small swivel, just something small enough to where it's not going to allow that egg sinker to slip over it. And then from there, I would tie 20-pound monofilament or 20-pound fluorocarbon, whatever your preference is. A short piece, maybe 6 to 10 inches. The idea behind that is to keep that mullet as close to the bottom as you possibly can, so that flounder, it just annoys the heck out of them. You know, it's right there in their face. They can't get up off the bottom and swim around and stay away from the flounder. It's just right there, ringing the dinner bell. For hook selection, kind of varies for everybody. I really, really prefer to. Use kale style hooks. for flounder. I think that they just kind of get back in their mouth a little bit easier. The way the hooks are shaped, they tend to grab the corner of the mouth a bit better. If I'm using shrimp, I won't use the egg sinker. I'll just tie on a jig head and run the jig head through the shrimp's mouth up through the top of his head right next to the horn and kind of bounce him off the bottom as if he was just kind of crawling along the bottom. But as far as where I hook my finger mullet when I'm fishing for flounder or fishing a fish finder rig with the slide and sinker, I always hook them in the lips, or at least a lip. I put it through the top lip, up through a nostril, or just through the bony part of his head and set them down there. But the most important part about fishing for for any kind of predatory fish with live mullet is to make sure that you're using really lively mullet. Something that I kind of talked about a little bit in one of the articles I did is don't overload your bait buckets. Just because there's a million mullet out there doesn't mean you got to put 100 mullet in your bucket. You know, if there's mullet all around you, just take a few. Maybe a half a dozen to a dozen, fish them till they're gone, and then go re-up. And this way here you have a steady flow of super, super lively baits, because nothing gets hit better than a mullet that's freaking out on the bottom, laying on the bottom in the sand hole, you know, causing a bunch of commotion on the bottom, stirring up the sand a little bit, and then also shining real good where it hadn't been beat up and the scales are all messed up. So, but that's it. That's a basic everything kind of rig, not really just a flounder rig. I mean, same thing will work well for redfish and passes and work well for trout and sitting in sand holes and that kind of thing. But the flounder in particular, that real short leader works really, really well for them. So I would definitely try and emphasize on the short leader. Rob, do you have a special way you like to rig for flounder? Do you, you know, as far as rigging live baits?
No, not really. If I did, it would probably be a shrimp. I'm not real big on bait anyway, but it basically the same thing, a fish finder rig, but instead of, you know, you got to use a shorter leader, and, you know, I understand that to keep it on the bottom, but it's so shallow there, but I'd probably use something like that in a little bit deeper water.
Yeah. I mean, and Greg, I mean, I know that that you don't use a whole lot of live baits. I don't think you're kind of like me. You like to use artificials. So, but have you ever targeted flounder with using live bait? And if so, or any other, let me ask you this: Have you used finger mullet live for bait for a specific species? And if so, how did you rig it?
Nope.
Good answer. There we go. Next. Awesome. But that, you know, that is definitely something that always pops up. In fact, I saw yesterday on two or three different kayak fishing websites in different tips and tricks or tips and rigs or whatever sections, guys asking about flounder, asking about redfish, asking about trout, and how do you rig live baits, because now they're all starting to show up. On the flip side of that, the exception to the rule for me is shrimp. I don't tend to have to worry about weighting my shrimp down too much. The only reason why I use a jig head when I'm fishing for the flounder is because I know that when he eats that shrimp, 9 times out of 10, he doesn't need extra time to spin it around to get it down into his gullet, much like a big mullet, you know. So as soon as I feel that tap, I can kind of lift nice and slow on the rod tip and see if I got any resistance where the rod tip starts to kind of dance just a little bit. And if I do and I know he's there, then I just rip his face off and, you know, drive that hook, that jig head hook through his head. And because chances are if he's down here, our limit is pretty small. It's only 12 inches. We don't keep 12-inch flounders as a general rule, but if he's 14, anywhere from like 14 and up, I have a real hard time letting him swim away. I really like to eat flounder. So, but, you know, I don't know. To me, it seems that jig head just gives me a much better hookup ratio. And also too, I tend not to lose quite as many flounder with the jig head as I do, which is a typical hook. You got to be real, real careful when you're dealing with flounder too, when you're trying to land them. I know the Virginia Beach guys and your leg sweep, that's a pretty cool technique, and it works real well because you guys have gotten it down. But down here, I've watched way too many guys try and lift the flounder out of the water by either the leader or try and just, you know, use the rod to kind of get him in your lap. And it doesn't take but maybe one or two head shakes out of the water, and that flounder, for some reason, will figure out a way to dislodge a hook quicker than any other fish I've ever seen. So
let me ask you this real quick.
Yeah,
I have a hard time handling flounder when I get them. It's just, for me, it's so awkward to, you know, it's just such an awkward fish to get hold of, you know.
Right.
What's the best way to grab a hold of them? And, you know, because I release everything. So what's the best way to, like, get him undone and get him back in the water, man? Because I'm juggling the thing, trying to figure out how to, you know, how to get him unhooked, you know, how to grab him.
Yeah,
just an awkward fish.
No, that's a great question. I'll tell you what, man, I've learned just from fishing for flounder almost my whole life that the easiest way to grab them, and this way here they're not going to go anywhere, is the lower part of their gills, down like low towards where like their gills open and close, right towards that opening. If you grab them on either side, if you can get your hands on either side of them and just kind of pinch, I've never had one come out of my hand that way. I don't typically stick my fingers up in their gills because of the teeth that the ones down here have, but and being such a small, you know, area from the gill to the mouth, but that's a great way to grab them, man. It's just right. You'll feel it when you pick one up. You feel the gill plate. It kind of gets soft down towards the bottom, right where it opens and closes. It kind of lets the fish in. I mean, lets the water leave. Just pinch it down, and you can almost compress your two fingers together. And you won't cause any damage to the fish. Because, I mean, I've literally taken flounder, threw them in a cooler with a little bit of water in it, drove all the way home, and pulled them out to flay them, and they're still breathing. So, you know, with no aerator, no nothing. So, you know, that they're pretty resilient fish. They're pretty hard to beat up. That's, you know, I think God gave us that little notch right there. As Rob's saying, there's a notch there. And your fingers fit right in. I think God gave us that notch so that we can get a grip on them flat things and control them. Because with Pepe, I don't release flounder, man. I'm sorry. I think I've got a pass though. I haven't killed a redfish in like 8 years personally. So all the flounder die. But that's one way that I like to do it, man. And or, you know, of course, you can use a landing net. I know you're kind of anti-net, but it's the landing net works real well. But the most important thing when you're trying to land a flounder, period, whether you're going to keep it, release it, whatever, is making the transition from the water to your lap as quick and swift as you can. Because if you don't, you're going to lose the fish. I don't know how in the world they do it. They're like the Houdinis of fish. But I've hooked some giants down at Sebastian Inlet, some 8 to 12, 13, 14 pounders on finger mullet, and watched them come up to the surface and go to get the net. And I need just a little bit more, you know, of the fish before I can get to it and make that little extra reach. And his head will just barely break the surface. And as soon as they throw that head around a few times, they'll shake the hook pretty quick. So, you know, I've been guilty of not having a net on my kayak now for too long. It's time for me to go ahead and invest in a little landing net just because of the flounder being so active this year.
Sounds like it after this weekend.
Yeah, dude. You know what was messed up, man, is I didn't even lose my fish to my error. It was just like, they just come unbuttoned, you know. The flounder, I saw him come up off. Yeah, I saw the flounder come up off the bottom, and I knew it was a good fish. And I kind of got, again, a little flustered because I love flounder so much. And maybe I just try to overwork him and get him to me too quick. And I watched him spit the jig. So it was, like, awesome. And then the big trout, I mean, he smacked my jerk shadows coming across the hole. And I just never had a shot at him. It was, you know, swing and a miss. But, yeah, the landing of the flounder has always been kind of a pain down here for most of the kayakers, just because it typically tends to be more of a accidental catch than really going out and targeting them here on, you know, on our coast. Luckily enough for me, I've figured out a way to target them this time of year, and you know, whatever, it's been working out. But if I'm fishing with shrimp, however, my strategy is completely different depending upon what I'm fishing for. I want to go into that real quick. One of the things that I like to use shrimp for is flounder. I also like to use them for mangrove snappers, redfish and trout, snook, tarpon, everything. Everything eats a shrimp. Everything eats a finger mullet, for that matter. But when using shrimp, excuse me, the only time that I'll put one on a weighted jig head or weight it down with a significantly heavier weight than just a small split shot is if I'm fishing, like, say, for our area, Holover Canal, because it's deep. And there's usually some sort of a current coming in and out of there, wind-driven current coming in and out of there. Or if I'm fishing for flounder. And so if I'm fishing for reds, I'm using shrimp. I tend to just freeline them. If I'm looking at tailing fish, if I'm searching for redfish with shrimp, which I don't do very often, I just target potholes and maybe a split shot to give me a little bit extra casting distance. But yeah, it's pretty simple. Live bait style hook, whichever one you prefer. I'm kind of partial to the owner hooks. I like Mustad hooks too and Gamagatsu's, but I really like the owner live bait style hooks. They're real thin wire, so you don't really weight the shrimp down too much. I tend to hook the shrimp towards the back of the tail. If you go to your favorite local seafood eatery and order some fried shrimp, just come with a little tail on the end of them, and you bite the meat out, whatever, you have that one little section right before the actual tail. That's the section I put the hook in. And with a live bait style hook, I go crossways across that little section there, and it's the hardest part of the shell that the shrimp has besides its head. And it kind of allows them to lay naturally in the water. Plus, when you cast them, they don't go butt first. They go head first, and they fly further. So if you throw it into the wind or whatever, they tend to sail a little bit better that way. But, yeah. And also, when they hit the water, as long as you haven't killed them or you're using dead shrimp, if you're using good live shrimp, when they hit the water, they'll naturally just kind of like swim down towards the bottom, and that hook in the back end of them is not going to make them roll over on their side as if you hooked them in the head, which would put them on the bottom and on their side, and they spin around in circles and just look all weird. And for fish that are super finicky, things that look like that just tend to turn them off, and they'll leave it alone, like, you ain't supposed to be doing that. So that's a little tip that I found from fishing with shrimp too, is just making sure that you hook them back there towards the tail. It works real well. Plus, when shrimp get scared, right, they pop backwards. They don't go forwards. So if you're in an area and you're watching fish move into where you're fishing, and you're throwing into a school of reds or whatever, and you see one red break away and come at your shrimp or whatever, you give it a little pop out of the grass. By hooking him in the back of the tail, he's going to pop out of the grass in a natural way, the way that he should if a redfish is going to eat him, and it's a reaction bite. They're on it, you know. And that thin wire hook is still stout enough to get into the corner of the mouth of a 55 or 56-inch redfish. So everything from the rats all the way up to the 50-plus-inch fish, those hooks are deadly for them. I just up the size of the hook depending upon the size of the shrimp. If all I have is small shrimp to work with, which you'll have in the summer, the spring and the summertime, typically, then you got to use a smaller hook. You know, you don't want to weight the shrimp down, make it look unnatural. At least to me, that's the way I've always done it. The same method works real well, too, if you fish over to mangrove trees, or if you're fishing around docks or around rock piles and that kind of thing, looking for snook, looking for mangrove snapper, and what you can do to increase your odds is get rid of the split shot altogether, freeline your bait, use no weight whatsoever, a line-to-line connection rather than using a swivel. Still using a thin wire hook. Rob, I had to mute you, man. You got to get that headset off you. Things loud. Still using a line-to-line connection rather than using a swivel. And pitch your bait up current if you have a current. And just kind of let it sweep down past the structure, whether it's a mangrove tree or what have you. That's what we were doing down in Chokoleski for the mangrove snappers, at least I was, me and Chris. We were just pitching them up current, letting them sweep down past the rock pile, and every time they come around the corner, they get slammed. I do that a lot in Port Canaveral here, so if any of you guys are listening or from this area, and you want to go fishing for some mangroves and maybe some snook and that kind of thing, you can use these small summertime shrimp and free line them with a thin wire live bait hook. Doesn't have to be a circle hook. Doesn't have to be, you know, whatever style of live bait hook you like. And just fish, you know, your structure areas that way. Using the weight of the bait to allow it to sink as opposed to making it look too unnatural. You know, a small shrimp in a current shouldn't sit still. You know, it just shouldn't happen. And fish know that. So the more realistic you make your presentation, obviously, the better off you'll end up doing. But that's that. Do you use shrimp, Mr. Becker?
Occasionally. Actually, not all that often. I've used it with them when I've had junior fly reel out once or twice. But there was another time I had them out, and I don't remember what it was. But, again, I've been 99 and 44 100% artificials in the salt so far.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. To each his own. Everybody likes it. Everybody doesn't. You know, whatever you prefer. I personally like to use shrimp when I'm having a hard time locating fish on artificials, and sometimes it happens. You know, I go fish down around the Sebastian area, down around the Melbourne area. You know, in no man's land, as we like to call it. Sometimes it's hard to locate a group of fish to really, you know, hone in on and pick apart with artificials. Also, too, as here in Florida, as the spring progresses and we start getting more and more storms and more rain showers in the afternoon, you're going to start to see the water quality in the Indian Banana Mosquito Lagoon all fade. And with that, it's going to be harder and harder to sight fish. It's going to be harder and harder for fish to locate your artificial baits unless you're using scented baits or using something that throws off a vibration, which is exactly why I use sea shads or shad tails all the time. It's because that bait does a couple of different things. It throws off a vibration. The fish can pick up on their lateral line. Most of the ones I use are scented. If they're not, you got me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Most of the ones, I just got a little message saying that my microphone wasn't being detected. Anyway, that threw me off. Oh, paddle tails. Most of the ones I'm using are scented. If they're not scented, I scent them myself. And, you know, it is what it is. But when the water quality gets to where you can't hardly see anything, sight fishing is pretty much a non-issue. A popping cork, whether it's a Cajun-style popping cork with the beads and the wire, you know, makes a lot of racket, or just an old traditional red and white popping cork, work really, really well in combination with the shrimp, or with finger mullet. For fish locating, you know, you throw it out off the edge of a flat in a couple of feet of water, pop it once or twice, let it sit for a couple of seconds, pop it again, and redfish, trout, black drum, snook, tarpon, they've all succumbed to a popping cork. They come rushing up to see what's going on, and then they see a little shrimp or mullet just dangling there, and it's on. So it's definitely got its uses, but for me, 99.999% of the time when I'm hooking shrimp, I'm hooking them back there by the tail. I used to do the whole right behind the right behind the black spot, right behind the brain, you know, keep them alive or just underneath the horn, whatever. And it works well, whatever. It's good if you're fishing for certain species. I guess it really doesn't matter what it looks like. Black drum don't really care, nor can they really see it anyway. Their eyesight's horrible, so it doesn't really matter. For mangrove snapper, or for redfish, big trout, that kind of thing, the more natural it looks, the better off you'll be. So I found that that's the most natural presentation, that area to hook the bait. So, guys are going to start using some more finfish for bait besides just mullet. We got some pinfish and pigfish that'll be showing up. Well, pinfish have already showed up, but the pigfish will start showing up. Croakers, caught a couple of croakers the other day while we were fishing, and it would have been really nice to have had a little bit stouter of a rod, maybe made the trip over to Hallover and dropped one down and watched a 40-inch redfish eat it. But croakers are going to be around pretty thick. We don't get a whole lot of green or white bait or greenies here, but it's an exciting time of year to get ready to start using some live baits if you want to try and experiment with it a little bit this year. The tip that I gave on yakangler.com about keeping live baits lively is pretty important. If you guys are going to do it and you're stuck in a kayak and you're not in a boat that has a good water turnover, would be take a bottle of water, you know, about half full, freeze it, and then add that to your bait bucket in the heat of the day, and that'll keep your shrimp alive or your bait fish alive a lot longer. It's a great tool to keep that fish and that shrimp real frisky. As the day progresses and it gets hotter and hotter outside, your bucket just gonna just, the water in your bucket will just heat up and kill everything pretty quick. So that's definitely a good way to keep things lively and kicking. But let's see. Let's add Steve Chapman from Fishing Florida Radio join us. How's it going, buddy? Appreciate you showing up. Got a whole list of folks there in the chat room. But you know, I don't know, man. It's one of those things. Live bait style hooks are what's in my tackle box. I don't carry any other style of hook to rig a shrimp or rig a mullet with. Where fin fish, I typically will, like I say, if I'm fishing them on the bottom, I'll hook them in the lip. If I'm free lining a fin fish, a mullet, a pinfish, a pigfish, or what have you, thread fin, I tend to hook them back by the tail on the bottom side of the bait. This will get them to kind of swim down with their nose down a little bit, keep them off the surface a bit more. If you nose hook them, I find that if you nose hook them and just let them free line around, they tend to swim like right below the surface. Which isn't a bad thing, but if you're fishing water any deeper than a couple of feet, it can sometimes make it hard for redfish and that kind of thing to eat the mullet off the surface. I mean, they weren't really designed to eat stuff up top. I know people catch them on top waters. I've done it. But if you fish for redfish for any amount of time with a top water plug, you know that it's not exactly the most convenient thing for them to try and mow down on. They actually look kind of funny trying to do it. They got to like basically get their whole head out of the water to eat it, where as opposed to a trout whose mouth's right in front of his face, he can kind of come up and just crash it wherever he wants to. But that's it, really. It's pretty simple. Live bait style hooks, you know, keeping the wire nice and thin to not weigh down the bait. The problem that you'll find that you will run into using white bait, like your pilchards, your pogies, your greenies, and that kind of thread fins, is the bait tends to be really, really light, has really no body weight to it whatsoever. So if you stick a decent-sized hook in its face, it's going to just drop like a rock to the bottom and not going to really have that good movement that you really are going to want to draw a good strike from the right fish. It'll keep it out of the catfish's realm too, which we all despise. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe one day I'll convince you, Mr. Becker, to use some live bait, some live fin fish or something. We'll figure it out.
I'm sure when fishing slows down and I can't catch them any other way, I will certainly give that a shot.
Appreciate it. Any word on your shoulder?
Yeah, I got the MRI read back today. Two tears, not good.
Oh, man. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, it is what it is.
Yeah, well, hopefully you can get on the mend and get right back into the swing of things. I don't know what all that would entail. It sounds like it'd be a pretty painful process, but we're all praying for you, brother, that you have a speedy recovery at least.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. But let's see. What else? Well, I know that the guys from Fishing Florida Radio have some pretty exciting stuff coming up. If you guys haven't listened to their show, we preach about them all the time. I think most of us that host these shows are fans of their show. Fishing Florida Radio is live streamed on the internet, 740thegame.com. That is Monday nights. No, Monday. I'm Monday nights, Jesus. That is Saturday mornings at Ugly 30 in the morning, which is 6 o'clock, till 9 o'clock. And listen to those guys, man. Steve Chapman, Captain Mike Ortego, and Boudreaux. Quite the cast of characters, and put on one heck of a morning show. So if you're on a commute going somewhere, you're sitting at the house in the morning drinking coffee, getting ready to leave the house, throw them on the internet, listen to them a little bit. And they also put their show on podcast as well. You can download it, I believe, off of iTunes, Steve. Maybe you'll throw that up for me, buddy. But they got some pretty exciting stuff coming up. I think they may have a couple good contests coming up here shortly. They seem to always be giving away something. So check them out. But with that, I'm pretty much done. You know, I didn't really cover as much as I would have hoped to have covered as far as the rigging is concerned, but we'll get more into that as the season progresses. But, you know, it is what it is. Let's see. Oh, let me do my little spiel here. While I'm getting ready to do my spiel, Mr. Becker, if you would, give a plug to your drink company with the discount code that goes along with it.
Oh, absolutely. For those of you who have not read the review on yakangler.com of Killcliff, it's an anti-inflammatory and recovery drink that I get the feeling I'm going to be mainlining in an IV as opposed to just drinking it. It really does a lot of good stuff for your body. It's not an energy drink. But it contains a lot of good stuff that keeps down inflammation, helps you if you work out, helps you recover. And if you're hurt, it really does a lot of good stuff for you. You can go to killcliff.com. That's KILLCLIFF.com. And if you're placing an order online, which they'll ship you cases right from their warehouse, use Yak Angler, YAKANGLER, in the coupon field, and you get 10% off. They give you free shipping. They're a great company. As someone says, it is tasty. That is the official name of their flavor. They support a lot of great causes. Company started and the formula is developed by a former Navy SEAL. And they suffice it to say they do a lot of good stuff for a lot of people who deserve it way more than the rest of us do. So good product, killcliff.com, Yak Angler in the coupon field. You get 10% off. Back to you, Chuck.
Thanks, Mr. Becker. And in other recent news, no, I'm kidding. Good job, buddy. God, you missed your calling, my friend. You should be a voiceover guy for sure. You can be forget about that homeless guy that's still smoking crack. You could be the next Kraft macaroni and cheese guy or whatever.
but that was an awesome video, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was great. Let's see. Real quick. Folks, we've got, again, I said, Captain Chris Cameron's in the chat room there. He's, I believe going to be captaining the boat for the Florida sportswoman team over here in East Central Florida for all the offshore fishing tournaments that they're going to be involved in. Should be pretty interesting. They'll probably take the ladies' titles and all the events because, well, Chris is the man. He gets you on the big fish. But follow them along. You can go to floridasportswoman.com. Brittany is – you guys know Brittany from the shows. She's been a guest on, I think, all of our shows now, and she does a whole lot for the fishing community as a whole. So, you know, show them some support. Follow them along and cheer for them as they try and win as many tournaments as they can this year. And also, too, don't forget to check out Elusive Tales. We had them on last week. Good friends of mine. I appreciate if you guys would just at least take a look at their website. It's not quite finished yet, I don't think. Mr. Chapman's been up to his eyeball work, so I know that it's not his fault. But here shortly, they'll have their full deal going down. You can check out Fired Up Charters for Captain Chris Cameron. Fired Up Charters is the name of his charter business. He's on Facebook. Follow him. Like him. He'll fill you with a ton of great information and great fishing pictures, man, and make you jealous sitting at home or sitting up north where it's nice and cold out. And, you know, you can sit there and watch what he's doing. But let's see. YakAngler.com. Most of you guys are all on YakAngler.com. If you're not, do so. It's your ultimate kayak fishing resource. Everything you've ever wanted to know about kayak fishing is pretty much on that site. If it's not, ask a question, and somebody will get back to you in a timely fashion with probably as close of a right answer as you're going to receive. But it's definitely a no holds barred kind of website. I like it, man. There's no pressure. You can write whatever you want for the most part, keeping it kind of family safe. You're not going to get scrutinized for writing a stellar fishing report with great information from the 25 plus years of knowledge and experience that you've gained from fishing a local area that you want to share with the masses, and you don't want to have to worry about the next time you sit down at your computer for 3 hours and stare at a screen and type out something that's going to be taken down within an hour. Sorry, I had a vent. With that being said, I've started a new group, Space Coast Kayak Anglers. We're both on YakAngler.com, and we have a Facebook page. The fine folks over at Kayaks by Bo. Many of you guys have heard me talk about them. They are probably the nicest folks that I've come across in the kayak fishing industry. And their new store. Wait for the drum roll. I don't have it. I'll do it myself. That's the best you get. Should be opening up in about 2 weeks. So we're super stoked about that, man. It's going to be such a nice place. And it's a giant building. They got really tall ceilings inside, so all the kayaks will be stacked up on their tail ends and to, you know, allow them to fit a bunch of them in there, different colors and choices and so on and so forth. And anyhow, it'll be great. I've got word that they're also going to be carrying a pretty decent fishing tackle selection, which will be interesting. Maybe even some apparel thrown in there. I don't know. Could get a little crazy in that place. But they're going to do a big grand opening. When they get ready to do the big grand opening, I'm going to let you guys know. It would probably behoove you to come out. I heard that they're going to be giving away a couple of kayaks at their grand opening. So that's always a fun little treat. It might make sense to maybe plan a Lagoon Doggle-ish around that time. If we can, get a couple people to come on over and show those guys some love. But, what else? Yeah, good. Jackson Kayaks is obviously my kayak sponsor. I'm not going to throw out everybody. I'm not going to throw it out in everyone's face, but I want to give them a little bit of love real quick. Jackson Kayaks, Yeti Coolers, Tackle Webs, Bending Branches Paddles, Aquabound. I appreciate all the support you guys show me and show the show. Means a lot. And, hopefully we'll just keep on continuing on with what we're doing. As this year progresses, it's going to get better and better. We're going to have a whole lot of cool opportunities coming up. I've been talking to Chris a little bit about maybe trying to do a mothership trip with the kayaks. Maybe we'll get one of those things squared away. Also, too, I think that there's still a few spots left. There's 3 spots left to head out with Chip Gibson on the mothership trip up in Brunswick, Georgia, going out on a trawler for a couple of days. I'm going to go fish some pretty remote areas. It should be awesome. If anybody's interested in that, get a hold of Chip Gibson. There's also information on that trip or for that trip at yakangler.com. Wow, man, I am just not with it right now. My little rant just kind of sent me off the wrong side there. But that's pretty much it. Yeah, so don't forget, let's see, do your remote at kayaks by boat. Yeah. Go to Goondoggle. That's a good idea, Chapman. He's saying that we should do a remote at Kayaks by Bow and then go to a Goondoggle or a kayak tourney on their grand opening. That's not a bad idea. That would actually be really cool. Chris is asking how my boy is. Appreciate it, man. Logan's doing really good. In fact, I got to tell you guys this just because it's very important to me. There's a group that's out there, state funded organization, that has done the therapy for my son, for my wife and I at no cost to us. It's called Early Steps. Early Steps is one of those organizations that is constantly being thrown around as maybe losing its funding at some point. And I'd hate to see that happen. Early Steps has a Facebook page called Save Early Steps. And I'd appreciate it if everybody were to go on there and show them a little bit of support. One of the things that we've been having a problem with is my son has developmental delay, and we're 99.9% sure that he's got a mitochondrial disease, which doesn't allow his body to kind of operate on all cylinders at one time. It's like trying to operate a three-engine boat on one small lawnmower battery. So we went and went to a specialist, and she put us on a little concoction from the health food store. And my son has gone now from rolling around on the floor and not crawling or trying to pull himself up or sitting up at almost a year and a half old to now crawling a bit and trying to sit himself up and pulling himself up and being much stronger. My son's a different kid because of it. And, you know, it's been real tough for me and my wife to get through. And I know this is a fishing show and I shouldn't be, you know, getting all sentimental and talking about family stuff, but it obviously really hits home. And, you know, you guys have all sent in prayers to me and my wife, whether it be on Facebook or through here, or, you know, just want to see you or whatever. And I really appreciate it. And, it's working, man. Prayers work. That's, you know, whatever. And so that's it. That's all I got. Appreciate it. Appreciate you asking, Chris. But yeah, let's get out there, man. Take a kid fishing. They're the future of the sport. And, you know, if you get a kid out fishing and you turn him loose when he's a teenager and he's fishing and that's his hobby, that's what he does, it'll keep him out of trouble. And it's just, man, it's a lifestyle that they'll never grow out of, you know. It's quite amazing to be a dad and to see the fire in my oldest boy Trey's eyes to want to go fishing. There's nothing better than it, man. There's nothing better than seeing that. I know Adam, our friend from Yak Angler, and his wife are expecting their first baby girl, and you know, that'll be really, really, really something special for him the first time that he takes her fishing or sees, you know, that excitement in her too. It's incredible. But makes you feel like a kid all over again. It's awesome. But with that, I'm done. I'm done ranting. I'm done with the sobby stuff. But listen, I appreciate all the support. Appreciate everybody being in the chat room. Thank you very much, Mr. Becker, for being on the line with me and being my go-to guy as always here. You're the man. And
no, you're the man.
No, sir, you're the man. And with that, I'm out.
You're the man.
You're the man. Bro hugs. All right. Well, you guys take it easy. Have a good week, eye contact. And
yep.
And we'll talk to you next week, guys. God bless. Take it easy.
Kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource. Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle. What the heck's a boondoggle? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource.
Give me the flats at dawn. With plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
What an awesome eat, man!
I got one!
Oh, damn, I got him! You got it! I got him!
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.